Tonight, I want us to talk about patience or being patient in James. Look at James 5. And let's look at verse 7 and 8. This is the brother of Jesus writing to those who are scattered, those who are dispersed. The congregation had only been Christians maybe 14, 15 years, AD 33. This is roughly about AD 47. And so not too long that this particular book was written to Christians, Jewish in nature, of course. And there are great wisdom and doctrinal truths in this particular book, matters of faith and the tongue and how one needs to submit themselves to God. But something in chapter 5 is powerful and worthy of our consideration tonight. In verse number 7 and 8, he says, therefore. Now, of course, you'll have to go back up to verses 1 through 6 in order to grab more of the context. However, when we consider the Christians and their need to be encouraged, enlightened, enhanced, he tells them, therefore, be patient. The word being patient there is in what is called the continuous action. Keep on being patient. Keep being patient. Brethren, until or unto, depending on your version, the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the gracious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Notice the illustration that he gives. Great illustration. And we'll have more to say about this illustration here in a few minutes. He says, you also be patient. Just as the farmer is patient, you be patient. Strengthen or establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draws near or is at hand. And so when I considered this text and thinking about what we need at times to be patient, to endure, to be strengthened, to be stabilized, to be made firm, if you will. It caused me to think about the great treasure in being patient. The great treasure in waiting. Developing ourselves while we're being patient. While we're enduring, we are gathering up strength. Gathering up encouragement and courage. So many lessons can be learned from just waiting. But not just waiting, but waiting while being strengthened. Kind of reminded me of a text in Acts chapter 9 in verse number 21 and 22, verse 22. It made me think about Saul, and Saul was a very intelligent man. And just because he had obeyed the gospel didn't mean that he didn't have any type of religious background. He was a student of the law of Moses. He knew the law. And so him obeying the Christ, really what he needed to know was more about the Christ, the one church, things of that nature. And so we see something that's powerful as well in verse 22. But Saul increased. Now notice the language here. All the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is Jesus the Christ. And so the idea of being strengthened or strength, literally coming from the teachings of God. Go back to James chapter 5. Let's take notice of some things. When you consider the Greek word for patient, it's used three times in this particular text, these two verses that we're going to be looking at. And it comes from the Greek word makro, meaning more or long, which is the opposite of micro, meaning fast, and thumio, which is hot, heat, or boiling. But it's interesting when you combine these words together, here are some of the definitions that come literally from the Greek. James uses this particular word and has the idea of encouraging the brethren to be to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortune and troubles. to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish, makrothumio. And so when you put these together, it's interesting, the context is going to determine what this word means, okay? And so the more that I thought about being patient, it made me consider James. As James was informing and encouraging the brethren to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be made firm, if you will, looking forward to something. Notice verse number 7 again. Therefore, be patient, brethren, unto or until the coming of the Lord, the parousia. The idea of the parousia is the one that's coming from the cloud, the one that's not here upon the earth. As I was thinking about this, it caused me to think 15, 20 years into Christianity, and James is already telling them that they need to be patient, endure. It's going to be all right. Strengthen yourself for the coming of the Lord. Well, here we are 2,000 years removed from this particular letter being written almost, and we need to be encouraged to do the same. We have to have something to look forward to, if you will. And so, as I was considering this, and I want you to consider, look at verse number, or the latter part of verse number 7. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You remember what Paul told those in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14 and verse number 17, as it relates to how God didn't leave himself without witness and that he gave rain from heaven. He gave rain. But I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and look at verse number 7. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 7, it's the book right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 7. Notice this little incidental point that I want to make to help with that particular point in the book of James chapter 5. He says, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. The earth actually receives a blessing from God when it waits. It has to wait. Just as the farmer has to wait, the earth has to wait. Just as the farmer has to wait, the earth has to wait, we have to wait. We have to wait for the blessing. And so one thing that's difficult, maybe for the farmer, even for us, is waiting for the blessing that's coming forth from heaven. And so here James, as he's encouraging them, really strengthening them to be patient, be long-suffering, wait. But then notice verse number 8. He brings up the farmer. Now he says, you also be patient. But notice the word establish. I believe one version says strengthen. Strengthen your heart. Comes from the Greek word sterizo, where we get our English word steroid. Strengthen. Make firm your heart. One thing about being patient, it requires being skillful too. Because sometimes when people are seemingly being patient, they're complaining through the whole process. And what God is teaching us, no, what you need to be doing is strengthening yourself, making yourself firm. Why? Because you are looking forward to something. And notice what he tells them to strengthen. Strengthen your heart, your will, your intellect, your emotions, your mind. And notice why. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so as we are thinking about these things, I want us to capitalize on some of the language here. I want us to capitalize on the coming of the Lord. Because if we're going to be patient, we have to have something to look forward to. Why are we being patient? What are we waiting for? Just as the farmer was waiting for the latter or the earlier and latter rain, well, the reason why is because he knew when the rain came and came upon the earth would drink the rain and then bring forth herbs. Well, it's the same for us. When we wait, when we're patient, when we're establishing our heart, making ourselves strong. Why? Because we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Notice Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. This is actually our theme for the year, and we've addressed it on many occasions this year. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, he says, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake or to arise out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Now, I want us to consider here, James is telling the brethren, "I need you to strengthen yourself, encourage yourself, make yourself firm so you can be stable." Why? The coming of the Lord is at hand. It's near. Our salvation, Nate, is nearer than when we first believed. You remember when you obeyed the gospel, you was 8 years old. And here you are, 27 years old, here 19 years removed, and your salvation's nearer than when you first believed. It's the same for all of us. And so as we grow in grace, as every day that we go to bed and we wake up, praise be to God, we thank God for another day, but the coming of the Lord is nearer. And the Christian ought to be looking forward to that. The Christian ought to be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Don Walker, one of my good friends, passed on from this life to the next. And he said something about Philippians chapter 3 that really encouraged me one time in his lesson. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." He said at one time concerning this passage that as Christians we ought to be walking with our heads up, metaphorically, waiting for our Lord to come back. We're looking forward. He's not going to be coming from the ground. He already been raised from the dead. He's going to come from the sky. He's going to descend from the sky. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse number 16. Paul would say this to the Thessalonian brethren. Don't have time to look at all of the context, but verse 16 is encouraging. Notice what takes place in verse number 16. He says, "For the Lord himself will descend." From where? From heaven. "With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." The Lord is going to come back. We're looking forward to that day. We know he's going to come back. And one thing that he says, he's not coming back empty-handed. Oh, no, friends, he's not coming back empty-handed. Look at Revelation 22. In Revelation 22 and verse number 12, of course, John is receiving this vision on the Isle of Patmos. And notice what our Lord and Master says. He says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is what, Brother Royce? Is with me." When Jesus Christ comes back, the one in whom we're looking to the heavens, the one in whom we are strengthening ourselves, being patient, waiting, he says, "I'm not coming empty-handed. I got something coming with me." You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you come across people, and every time you see them, their hands are empty. Usually their hands are out waiting on something. Jesus is not going to come back empty-handed. He's going to come back with salvation. He's going to come back with what we've been longing for. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to talk about strengthening ourselves here in a few minutes. But as God has always done and still does today through his word, he encourages us and he gives us something to look forward to. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 8, there is something about the Christian. I'm talking about the one that is focused. One that is focused, notice. This is after he said in verse 7, "I fought the good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me on that day. And not to me only," but notice the language here, "but also to all who" what? "Is appearing love." They're looking forward to him. We're looking forward to him. And Brother Raymond, we need to be looking forward to the Christ coming back. He's coming back one day. Kind of reminds me of those, this is not part of my lesson, so I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it reminds me of those who are mocking the return of Christ in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where is this coming? Since the beginning, all things remain the same. That was the point they was trying to prove. And then Peter brings up Noah and the flood. No, that's not the case. It hasn't always been the same. God is not slack concerning his promise. Men count slackness his long-suffering. Just as God wants us to be long-suffering, he waits. He's been waiting and waiting and waiting. Friends, shouldn't we be waiting too? But we have to wait with the right attitude. And so go back to James chapter 5. In James chapter 5 and verse number 8, we take notice of the word strengthened. We looked at it for a quick second, a couple minutes ago. Notice this. He says, you also be patient. Now notice, establish, strengthen. Strengthen what? Your heart. Jesus would say in Revelation 3 and verse number 2, as it relates to the same idea of strengthening that which remains. Make it firm. How do we make what we have in our hearts firm? Make it firm through the word of God. We make it firm through humility, through being honest, through being honorable. Why? Because we want to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We want to make sure that as we are firming up our Christianity, that ought to cause us to be looking forward to the Christ, looking forward to our Savior. There is so much going on down here that the Christian ought to be longing to be with the Lord. No wonder Paul would say on one occasion in Philippians chapter 1, turn your Bibles there real quick. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20, I think at one time, Nate, this is one of your favorite passages you used to always quote. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul wanted to go and be with the Lord, but he knew it was more needful for him to be down here. I know sometimes, at least, we should have the attitude or the longing to be with our Lord, just like Paul did. I don't want to be down here. I want to be up there. I want to get out of this body. I want to get out of this flesh. And no wonder Paul would tell the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about the earth of this tabernacle. If the earth of this tabernacle be dissolved, we got a house in heaven. A building. Let me go there. Apparently I can't get my mind together. That's what happens when you get old. Can't think right. Here it is. For we know that if our earthly house, there it is, this tabernacle, verse 1, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And so Paul understood. I'm like, I don't want to be here, but I have to be here. I want to be with y'all, but I want to go home and be with the Lord. And so the Christian is longing for the coming of Christ. Why? Because he's not coming back empty-handed. He's bringing our salvation. And friends, because of that, we're looking forward to him. And so a few things before I let you go. Number one, we need to strengthen one another as Christians in our private conversations. There are some things that people just won't say publicly, rightfully so. But what a blessing it is to strengthen one another privately. Proverbs 17 or 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's something about encouraging one another. I was talking to a good brother last night from out of the city, and we was talking about a brother that was going to hopefully be confessing fault today. And he said, well, should he come forward and confess fault? I said, a confession is a confession. As long as he's confessing, he just need to confess. Whether it's confessing to you or to the brethren, he just need to confess. But that conversation is causing them to say, you know what, I need to do better. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it's necessary. And so private conversations ought to be strengthening and encouraging. It ought to help us to be the people that we need to be, to build up and to correct. Number two, we have God on our side, desiring our good and spiritual safety. Kind of reminded me of something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Sometimes we're so concerned about our physical safety that we don't concentrate on our spiritual safety. Here, the apostles were going to be sent out in what is called the limited commission. And we see that Jesus is encouraging them. He's encouraging them to be strong, to preach. Don't be afraid of the ones that can kill the body, if you will. Notice what he says. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Can you imagine the apostle? They have this encouragement. They have this assurity, this assurance, if you will. I'm not too concerned about this. I'm concerned about that inner man. And friends, that's a spiritual mindset. And so the spiritual mindset that God wants us to have is, I'm with you. You'll be okay. Hang in there. And like I said earlier, we must encourage each other to be honorable, to be honest, to be humble. In doing that, we're looking forward to the coming of Christ. We're strengthening one another. We're strengthening ourselves. We're strengthening our heart. I was talking to Brother Wilson this morning. We was talking about being honest and how the heart. And it's amazing how Jesus in Luke 8:15 talks about an honest and good heart. And he puts it in that order and how the word of God goes into the honest and good heart. And I told him earlier today, I said, I believe when you look at the parable of sowers, you're seeing different levels of honesty. Different levels of honesty. And so when someone is really not honest, their heart becomes hard. And the word of God can do nothing with them. And so what we want to do is be a good heart, an honest heart. Why? Because it's going to strengthen us. And it's just as important to be honest after baptism as it is before baptism. A few more points. It's proper to remind each other of the goal. What goal is that? Eternal life with God. Paul would call it the crown of life. The crown of righteousness. Friends, that's what we have waiting for us. But go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at a passage with me real quick. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, if I can get my fingers there, Paul tells Timothy in verse number 3, for the time will come. Now listen to this phrase here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If we're going to continue to be careful about strengthening our hearts and strengthening our faith, we have to endure sound doctrine. What do we mean? There's always going to be those that's going to challenge our faith. They're going to challenge the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one church. They're going to challenge those things. They're going to challenge the exclusivity of the church. They're going to challenge how we worship God in spirit and in truth, the five acts of worship. And we can't cave. We can't give in. We can't retreat. We can't draw back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 to 38. We have to endure sound doctrine. And sometimes what happens with certain Christians is that they stop enduring. Have you heard of a Christian at one time, maybe a preacher, that was strong in the faith? And the next thing you know, she just left the Lord altogether. How did that happen? They stopped enduring sound doctrine. And so we have to hang in there. And how would that happen? We have to strengthen our hearts. We have to strengthen one another. We have to have a desire to do that which is right before God. Because one thing that's not going to change, Brother Royce, is the 7 1s in Ephesians 4. One thing that's not going to change is the church that Jesus promised to build in Matthew chapter 16. Those things are not going to change. Eternal life is not going to change. Friends, we have to endure sound doctrine. And so in enduring sound doctrine, we shouldn't grow weary of the beauty of holiness. Shouldn't grow weary in our attitudes toward God, our actions, our love for God, our love for brethren, our love for sinners, our love for the church. Go back to James 5 as we close. James 5, again, we understand the context of an oppressive employer in this particular context, going through a lot. However, when I saw 7 and 8 and being patient, just being patient, enduring. Well, you don't have to have someone that's oppressive in order for you to endure. Just live life. Just trying to do what is right. And so, therefore, be patient. Keep on being patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Meaning, don't stop for no reason whatsoever. And when you see Jesus, you'll know, okay, I made it. When you die and you end up in Abraham's bosom, you know that you made it. I'll tell you something that's in my mind. Every day when I go to bed, I ask myself, is this it? Is this it? Is this the last night I'm going to be on this earth? I'll be honest with you, it's comforting. It really is. And it ought to be. So we endure. We're patient. Verse number 8. You also be patient. Establish your heart. Again, for the coming of the Lord draws near. And every day, if you are blessed to wake up in the morning, just know that the day of the Lord is nearer than when you first believed. What a good God we serve, that he gives us his word, gives us the church, and gives us encouragement through his word and through one another to stay focused on the coming of the Lord. He's coming. Praise be to God, he's coming one day. I'm not a child of God, we want you to consider. Consider obedience to the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Christ. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe a child of God in you, you just haven't been patient, haven't been enduring, want to give up. Don't do that. You ought to write on your piece of paper and put it on your refrigerator, put it on your computer, put it somewhere. Say the coming of the Lord is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming with his salvation. His reward is coming with him. Put something on there reminding you that the Lord is coming back. And love his appearing. Love it. As we stand, as we sing to Savior's invitation.